Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Thanks for joining me today. And I'm excited to introduce you to an amazing lady. Her name is Judy Slater. Her company is Interlude Coaching, and she is a life coach. So I can't wait to hear about her history and her thoughts about moving forward and about life coaching. Welcome to the show, Judy. Nice to have you here.
It's delightful to be here. Thanks, Jean.
Sure thing. Tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you become a life coach? We were laughing before this saying, I don't think people went to school and said, I'm going to be a life coach back when we were younger. So.
Yeah, I don't think there was even such a thing. Well, I actually started out in medicine, was a medical technologist. So I was the person that did all the lab work and realized that I was really a people person and that wasn't going to work. But I was interested in healing, and that was physical healing. I decided to go to seminary. I became a Presbyterian pastor, and I've been ordained in the Presbyterian church for almost 40 years. And so that was kind of the spiritual healing, and not necessarily coaching, but in the language of coaching, but definitely having those kinds of coaching conversations. I did a program at Bastyr University, which is a naturopathic university that combined spirituality, health, and medicine, and looked at like the shaman and the healers and all the priests and kind of what they all had in common. And then I've had a lot of health issues along the way. And so I wasn't really able to do the work that I was doing full time. And I just wasn't getting that transformation that I had wanted for people. People in church kind of not play it safe, but it's like, you know, Jesus loves me just as I am. And so they're not really prone to growth. I mean, and that's a generalization, but that was my observation in a lot of places. And so I actually ended up going to kind of the employment place, and they're like, oh no, because you're on disability, you need to go to the Department of Rehab. And he takes one look at me and he's like, oh, you should be a life coach. And I literally roll my eyes and say, oh, anybody can be a coach. And so that's how coaching was introduced to me. And yet CTI was two exits from my house. I bought the book and I'm like, oh, you can do this. Oh, you can do that. Oh, you can do that. You can use the client's language. It was so freeing for me. So I feel really supercharged in this space. Promotes my passion for other people's transformation and growth. I just love watching people discover more about themselves and shifting and changing and becoming really passionate about not only themselves, but the work that they want to do in the world.
It's so interesting that, like you did, a life coach. Oh, what is that? We all know how to live, but not well.
It turns out.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and I also think that some of the questions that life coaches ask, some of the basic questions, like what is your purpose? You don't really get those asked in life. And it's funny because one of my kind of the first phrases that I say to people is, your relationship with yourself is the most important relationship you will ever have. Now, if I was told that at age 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, how different my life would have been. But that's not usually ever said until you either go through a crisis or you meet a coach who's asking you those larger questions, not just how to get through your job and all of that kind of stuff, but like, who do you really want to be?
I think a lot of us are too busy, first of all, especially in like the middle of your life where you're balancing, you know, aging parents and small children or whatever your situation is. I think you get on autopilot, and if you can get through the day and get to bed and get a night's sleep, you're excited.
Well, and you also repeat or do the exact opposite of what you learned growing up. And so what I found with my family is that both of my sibs raised their children the same way that my parents did. And then around 40, 45, they have a realization, I would have done it differently. You know, when you look at the overall societal thing, we definitely do repeat those patterns kind of out of ignorance.
Yeah. And I'd like to think, like we mentioned this earlier, that, you know, people nowadays are more open to understanding what it is to take care of themselves. It sounds kind of silly, like, oh, you know, if you take care of yourself, you'll be fine. And and sometimes it takes a health issue or the passing of someone else for people to go to just stop in their tracks and say, well, hang on a minute, what does it all mean? And start getting thinking deeper. But we can start earlier, putting ourselves in a path that we love. Wouldn't that be great?
The self-help sections have grown tremendously. They weren't really there in the 50s and 60s, and probably early 70s is when that kind of started. There's so much that's available now and so many ways to do that work, even integrated into schools and after school thing. And some of the, I know I'm speaking from a white person, so I know there's a little bit of advantage there. Diverse communities that we have, it's essential for them to be introduced to that very young.
Absolutely. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about clients. You know, tell us a little bit about the people that you typically work with. Like, how do they find you? They need to do something better and that full more fulfilling.
And that's an interesting question. At the beginning, I didn't have any trouble finding clients. And I'm like, I don't really need to market. I think it's because I first started outreach towards pastors and seminarians and people that were in ministry that were burnt out or questioning their whole role or people coming into ministry. And then because I have that chronic illness piece, I would get a lot of people who are like, I can't work full time. I need something that works for me and I can't be in the regular business world. Had people like that. And then I've taken a course in energy medicine. And so I can do a lot of the energy healing and just even helping people with their boundaries, meaning not taking on other people's energy and being 100% full of themselves and that sort of thing. So now I've kind of got clients from here and there and everywhere. And I often do get men too for interesting reasons. One needed some help with some money issues with his business, and another one just wanted help in kind of expanding his vision, and one was retiring and didn't want to stop working. I've kind of just collected this a little bit eclectic group of clients. So it's
Yeah.
been fun to see who shows up.
That's exciting though, I think. I like working with people in all different kind of industries. I like learning all about that and their challenges and helping them through that. And I could totally see where people who are ministers and things are in the ministry, they're supporting everyone there and trying, and they are truly, you know, have some boundaries, have to understand what it is to keep their energy up and to fulfill them, whether that's, you know, physically or mentally or both. That must be very challenging.
Especially during COVID times, everybody that was in charge of people got burnt out. What actually we in our area, we had a kind of a training for clergy, but we didn't have anything for the lay people. And so the last 3 years, I've been doing leadership groups for lay people on leadership, healthy boundaries, and all that kind of thing. So kind of coaching in a group form. And I just had the last session of two groups for 9 months this morning. And the transformation from the beginning to now, the confidence, the wanting to go farther, all of that, I mean, it's affected everything in their lives. And that to me is the thrill.
Oh, that's so exciting. I think when people hear leadership, they think people who work in corporations and who are the managers and supervisors or the VPs. Leadership affects all of our lives. And I think a lot of women especially don't understand that they are typically the leaders of their families, the managers of their home, and do it extremely well, but don't give themselves any credit for it.
Yes, and CTI, Coaches Training International, or Coactive Training International, they've changed their name. I mean, their line is everyone is a leader. You have to lead your own life. Like you said, you have to lead your children's life. You have to be in any group that you're in. You're always a leader. And I like it because we think of leaders as the upfront people, the people that we see upfront, like in the government and that sort of thing. But behind every leader, there's somebody in the back, there's somebody on the side. You can lead from what's in the space. I mean, it's really, like you said, leadership has a lot more dimensions than what we typically think of as leaders.
So I love that you do energy healing. So it sounds like you've got a lot of different modalities and things that you can reach out to when you're working with someone. You did say you do some membership group coaching, which was the leadership coaching. And then I'm assuming you do one-to-one or one-on-one as well.
Yes, I do. That's where I really started. I really do like the one-on-one, but this opportunity came along and yeah, it was great.
That's brilliant. So if someone were in a position where they knew they needed to do something better for themselves, or they were feeling a little bit like, is this it? There's got to be something better. What would be a small step or a small habit that they could start with to kind of getting them in the right direction?
Maybe not a small step, but the first thing that I do with my clients is we do a values assessment. And I don't have them check off the values on a list because that's too vague and universal. I really have them look at their own life and recall times when they felt like they could conquer the world, really looking at those values. And then, in addition to that, where have your values been stepped on? Because that's usually what's happening when they come to coaching. It's like they're really angry about something. They're really frustrated. This stuff isn't working, whatever, whatever. And it's like once they realize that their values and really underneath their values, their needs aren't being met, that's where we kind of go. It's a deep dive, but it's life-changing. And so sometimes I do either 3 months or 6 months, but we always start with that. I always start with the values. And then, of course, you know, each time, like I said, I mentioned earlier, I'll just give an example of the energy healing piece. And so it's like, okay, so the idea is that you want to be 100% yourself and have all of your energy. But every interaction that we have, including the one that I'm having with you right now, is an exchange of energy. So I'm picking up your energy. So when I leave this call, I've got Jean's energy in me. Well, then I'm not 100% full of myself. So what I do is I teach people to do neutral separations, and I'm going to just do it with you right now. It's that easy. So I'm just going to kind of put your image there or a symbol. If you do a group, you just do a symbol. And then I just push my hands out and I say, I gift you back your energy. And that's an intention. And so it's true. And then I pull my hands towards me and say, I take back my own energy. And then the important thing is I take my hands and I press them towards the ground. And I say, I ground myself in present time. And that discharges the charge of the energy or the emotion. It doesn't take away the interaction, but it neutralizes it. Yeah, that's usually the first thing that I will give to somebody.
And can people do that for themselves?
Yes.
Because you made me think of a friend of mine, a really dear friend of mine, and she's an RN for the
Oh.
VA hospital. You are exposed to, she says, amazing people, but a lot of sadness, people who are injured or hurt or have chronic illnesses and things. So, she needs a way to kind of leave that with them and take home her own energy.
Well, and the important thing is to have established times to do it or structures to do it. So it's like, okay, when I click the leave meeting on the Zoom button, I'll do neutral separations. When I hang up the phone, when I walk through a threshold to another room, like when the nurse leaves the patient room, she would just briefly do neutral separations. If she forgets then you do it when you get into your car. If you forget then you do it when you walk in your house or when you put down the garage door. So you have all these little structures, these little reminders. Oh yeah, I need to do this. And then definitely before bed, and it's not just with people, all the energy of the television, I give back all the energy of the social media, I give back all the energy of my phone, my computer, everybody that I drove by, everybody that I interacted with, everybody that I thought of. You can really separate from your day so that you can sleep. Number one, your sleep is a ton better and you're healthier, because what happens when you carry other people's energy, it tends to go to a certain place in your body, and that's where you get sick. Carrying other people's energy around is probably the major cause of illness.
Isn't that interesting? Like, you never think of like TV or social media or computer, or all the things that we're exposed to and that, carry energy.
Yeah, but how do you feel after you watch the TV? That's the energy impact. It's like, oh. Or it can be good energy too, but you still want it to be neutral. You can still have the experience.
So that's a great exercise. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, do I see a book behind you by chance?
You do. I woke up one morning and I had done some healing work with a friend, and she said, "You need some self-wonderfuls." I'm like, "Well, what are those?" She's like, "Things like self-love, self-patience, self-compassion, that sort of thing." So months later, I woke up one morning, I'm like, "I've got to do this." And I didn't want to write a book. So I started with a card deck, and it's called it's the Simply Self Wonderful Inner Workout Book, and also the card deck. And what it has is, you are simply self wonderful. We all, and again, we all need to love ourselves. That's my message to the world. We need to love ourselves, and we don't know how to do it in ways that's not really true love. And so I kind of came up with, we've got all these self wonderfuls, like I mentioned, self compassion, self love, lots of those kinds of things. And then we have the woundings, like self judgment, self criticism, self loathing, self whatever. And those are actually gifts too. And so the key is to actually to work on those and find the gifts so that you become simply self wonderful. So the book has 65, and the card deck, they have 65 self wonderfuls and self woundings, and then a little blurb and kind of a creative definition. And then affirmations. And then this is kind of my thing, because I want people to be holistic. I call it MEPS. There's five areas that I have little activities in: mental, emotional, physical, social, and spiritual. And so that you can choose to do something. And then, because self-wonderful was kind of a abstract concept to kind of illustrate, I chose to use mandalas. And I found a woman who made a mandala for each of the definitions. And so in the book, you can color them, because I found, again, that coloring, it's rhythmic and very relaxing, and it takes you into yourself. So that's another practice that I would tell people to do, is don't worry about a blank page and trying to think up what you need to. Just go buy a coloring book. And there was a big, phase of coloring books. That's the book and then the card deck. And then I've just finished putting the card deck on an app called Deckable. It's like Audible for books, but it's Deckable for card decks. And really, you can carry it around with you and use it any time of day. So that was kind of my last project.
You have a copy of your book? Can you show us?
I
And I
do.
love coloring. I'm a
Yeah,
big fan.
I've got it's just like what the background
Oh,
shows.
that's
And
pretty.
then if I open a page, oh wow, this one's self-harm. So I just opened, but you can see kind of the razor blades of the mandala, and then the other side, oh, can't quite see there. Self-harm has got the definition and the blurb and all of that. So that's kind of what the book looks like. And
I
then
love that. And you're going to give us a link to that so we can put it in the show notes,
I
right?
am. And because that's black and white, you know, and some people like books, but if you're not into card decks have all the colors. So the oranges, the pinks, the reds are the self-wonderfuls, and then the bruise colors, the greens and purples are the self-woundings. So
They're beautiful.
yeah,
Huh.
thank you.
And they can get the decks in at Amazon as well.
Yes, you can get the book and the card deck separately or as a bundle, and there's also the ebook. And but then you have to go to deckable.com to get the you get the free app, and then you can buy it on Deckable.
Okay, so we want to go to the
A little
Deckable app to
complicated,
find
but yeah.
that. Well, I love that whole concept. It's simple but effective because I think we need things in our lives that are a little bit simple.
And it's a simpler version, but it's got, I mean, you can journal, you can meditate with it, you can do a two card spread, a three card spread, you can sort it, you can add in other card decks to it. I mean, it's amazing what it can do. And then like I said, the best thing is that you could just carry it with you. Anybody who has a phone, you can just stop and pull a card and read the message and then breathe and go on with your day rather than carrying around a card deck.
I love that. What a gift. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Judy. So, if people are saying, I love what she has to say, I love what she does, I need to reach out to her, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
So the two easy ways, probably the easiest is just to go to simplyselfwonderful.com. That's a page on my coaching website, innerludecoach.com, but it's all there. So you'll read about me, you'll see, you know, all the testimonials, a bunch of videos about me, how to purchase everything. So you can just click on things.
Perfect. Last question.
Anyway.
If you could go back and give your earlier coaching self one piece of advice, what would that be?
There's two things. Because I came from a service background, I didn't know anything about business. To really learn business basics, free yourself from them. Because I got stuck in, you need to do it this way, and you need to have this many people, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And that just like drowned and sucked the life out of me. Be your creative self. That's my other thing.
I love that. We're big fans of outsourcing. We help our clients to outsource different things that, like, a lot of their video marketing, production, and bookkeeping, and things that they don't want to do. They want to help their
Right,
clients.
right. And
Yeah.
the sooner you can do that, the better. And so but that means you've got to have enough income to be able to do that. So,
Yep, absolutely. Well, Judy, this has been such a delight. I am so grateful that you came on and joined us today and shared your inspiration, your cards, your book. All of your resources. Thank you so much for joining me today.
well, thank you for the great questions and the great conversations. I could talk for a lot longer.
I love that. Thank you. Friends for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.